morning and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we're live for a half hour each weekday morning. We have an open phone line for you. You can call in with questions you have about the Bible or about the Christian faith, and we'll talk about those questions. If you have a difference of opinion from the host and want to express an alternative viewpoint, feel free to do that. The number to call is 800-227-5278. That's 800-227-5278. And we have some lines open right now for you if you want to call. But we only have a half hour, so call quickly, early, if you can. And that way we can be sure to get you on the air before we run out of time. 800-227-5278. One announcement, and that is that for those who live in or near Temecula, we have occasional meetings, usually once a month, in Temecula. We've been having a series of lectures I'm giving called What Are We to Make of Israel? And actually, this is a series that perhaps presents information that many people, many Christians, do not hear in church. Even those who regard themselves as experts on Bible prophecy and who have a lot of opinions about Israel and prophecy, a lot of them have never heard the material, or apparently, because I know that I, in my younger years, had never heard this material, though I was a Bible prophecy teacher myself. But this is something I'd encourage you to come out for this Saturday night at 6:30. Information can be found at our website, thenarrowpath.com. Love of Christ Christian Fellowship is a church that allows us to use their facilities when we have these meetings, and that's where we'll be, in Temecula, 6:30 this Saturday evening. And we'll be talking about the covenants that God has made, especially with David, and what is the fulfillment of this promise that God made to David? Is it going to be fulfilled in a future millennium, or is it something that was fulfilled in the first century? Well, we'll look at the scriptures about that and come to a definitive answer. Feel free to join us this Saturday night, 6:30 in Temecula. It's at the Love of Christ Fellowship. If you don't know where that is, and most people don't because it's a little church that's kind of in a little industrial complex in Temecula. It's near the corner of Inez and Winchester, but a map and the address can be found at our website, thenarrowpath.com. And you go to the link that says, the tab that says announcements, and scroll on down. You'll see all you need to know to join us this Saturday night, which I hope you will. All right, we're going to talk first of all to Richard from El Monte, California. Richard, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. My question is, if I am using a person, let's say as a gardener or a handyman or a house cleaner, and that person says they're a Christian, and one day they tell me that they're not reporting any of this income since no one knows about it, I assume that you're saying that they're sinning, but I was wondering, am I in any way culpable if I continue to use that person after they tell me that?
I actually don't know what the reporting requirements are for something like that. You'd be better off talking to a lawyer about that. As far as, in other words, if you are expected to, you know, withhold taxes or unemployment or that kind of stuff or Social Security from their payment, I don't know. It seems to me, since they're self-employed, that that's their responsibility. And if they aren't doing it, that would be a matter between them and the government. From time to time, we read that, when some politician is being vetted, that they use some kind of undocumented labor in their home or something, and it's considered to be a scandal. I don't know if that's simply because they are, getting a lower priced service in their home by breaking the law, or if they're supposed to be doing something more in terms of reporting. I honestly am not aware of that kind of a thing. If the person is sinning and is a Christian, I guess this is what you're wondering about. Are we supposed to, disfellowship them or whatever? But if I think that if the person is merely a laborer, just a contract laborer, that you're paying them for a service, and you're doing all that you're legally required to do, But if they're doing less than they're legally required to do, I don't think that their sin is upon you, and I don't think that this constitutes fellowship. You know, when the Bible says not to eat with a person who calls himself a Christian and is living in unrepentant sin, I think that's talking about Christian fellowship. I think that's talking about communion. I think that's talking about something other than just doing business in the world with somebody like that. After all, you never know if you're shopping at Albertsons whether the clerk there is a professing Christian who's living in sin. It's a business arrangement. It's not a Christian fellowship situation. So, in my opinion, if you have a laborer working for you who calls himself a Christian but is living in some kind of sin, that doesn't impugn you, in my opinion, if you're simply using them as a paid laborer, just like you would use some non-Christian in the same role. However, if they think themselves Christians, I think as a brother in Christ, you probably have some obligation to have a conversation with them about it, and to, you know, and to help disciple them, as it were. I don't think this is a fellowship situation that would require disfellowship in the sense of, you know, you don't talk with them, don't have anything to do with them, because actually Paul said that when somebody is disfellowshipped, you should not treat them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother, he says in 2 Thessalonians 3. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can't communicate with them or have any dealings with them.
Okay.
It's just that you're not supposed to have Christian fellowship with them.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Richard. Thanks for your call. Bye now. All right. Randy from Alhambra, California, is our next caller. We also have a line open for you at 800-227-5278. Randy, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Okay, I have a question regarding my personal situation, and it is this. My question is financially taking a lucrative job versus taking a job that you're just getting by on financially, but having the most joy and peace and contentment out of it in a Christian environment versus working in a secular world, you know, for obviously more money. And I struggle with that. And I'm wondering, you know, how do I know, like, if this is God's will for me, or if, you know, if this is where God would want me, and I pray for that.
Right. Are you facing both opportunities at this moment, or are you trying to think of which way to pursue?
No, I'm currently in the Christian environment with the lesser of pay.
Uh-huh. And you believe in what you're doing and what the organization's doing that you're working with?
100%.
Yeah, well, then... Yeah, I would never choose a job only on the basis of pay. I realize that when you're not a Christian, there's not much else to take it for. You work for money, but a Christian works for God, and they may get money in the process, especially if they are working in a job that God has them doing that pays something. But the Christian is a servant of God and is doing what he believes, or should be doing what he believes is the most fruitful thing for the kingdom of God. And money is not the first consideration. Now, if you're not making enough to support your family or meet obligations, then, of course, that would be something to reconsider, because you do have responsibilities of some kind. Are you a married man with children?
No, it's just myself, but sometimes it's a little embarrassing when you have to reveal that you make like half of what you did, you know, previously to...
Yeah. I guess in our society it can be embarrassing. I've never been embarrassed to tell people I was poor. But I'm not real poor right now, but I've been poor most of my life. And I guess it just never had anything to do with my ego. I feel that I wanted to do what at the end of my life I can look back at and say, well, because I engaged in this activity for the majority of my life, there is this much fruit of the kingdom of God that has come about. And that would be the main thing that would concern me. Now, that doesn't mean that there can't be fruit for the kingdom of God in a high-paying job also, because God also has Christians scattered throughout all the different sectors of society to be a witness there. And some of them are in places of, high pay. And some of them are places that don't pay much. So I wouldn't think you were being unspiritual if you felt like God is leading you to this other kind of a job and you felt that the one you're doing now is really not the will of God for you, but because God could use you in another setting as well. But if you're only embarrassed because you, although you make enough to live on and meet your obligations, you don't make a respectable or impressive amount of money, and it's embarrassing to tell your friends about that, I wouldn't let that bother me a bit. I would just say, well, I'm doing what I feel satisfied doing. I'm glad to get up in the morning and know I'm doing this particular work for God. If there was no money in it at all, I would still like to do it, you know, but it does happen to cover my bills, so that's good enough for me. Remember, Paul said, having food and clothing, we should with these things be content. Now, there's not very many American Christians who have that attitude, but it is the Christian attitude. You should be content with whatever God provides. That's something commanded many times in Scripture. And Paul said food and clothing should be enough. I mean, God can provide a lot more than that, but we should be content with whatever he provides. The main thing is that we're doing what he wants us to do. If we're doing what he wants us to do, that should give us contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, Paul said. So I don't know, if you're looking for somebody to say, no, you really should be making as much money as you can with your time, I'm not that guy. I probably could make more money in my life than I've made through my life, but I wouldn't have been doing what I was doing, and what I was doing is what I was called to do. So I'm all for people taking the more modest route financially in order to accomplish things for God. But on the other hand, people who make a lot of money can do a lot of things for God too, and money is very useful for even for supporting the people who are doing ministry things. So, you know, it just depends on what God's calling for you to do.
Right.
How long have you been in the work you're in now?
2.5 years.
Okay, and is it working for like a nonprofit or for a church or what?
That's correct. It's a Christian retirement home.
Uh-huh. And do you feel like the gifts that God's given you are being put to use there, and that you're seeing opportunity to be a good representative of Christ to these people?
Yeah, for the first time in my life.
Well, that sounds like a good place to be then.
And I'm super happy.
Well, good. Excellent. I congratulate you. That's a good thing. A good thing you're doing.
And real quick, there was a card that they gave us upon hiring. It's literally a business card, and it has your name on it. It says, "These hands are in service of the Master." And I was so proud of that card. It made me feel really, really good. Like, you know, my hands are in service of the Master, finally.
Yeah, you know? Amen. How old are you, Randy?
52.
So you did something else for a career in your earlier years.
I did. I worked with computers.
Okay, so you were in the secular world working in a regular trade.
That's right.
Until a few years ago. Now you're working in ministry. Well, I can see why you'd prefer what you're doing now. Not that your previous work wasn't fulfilling, but I mean it's a choice I would be inclined to make too if I felt like this is what God was allowing. I'd much rather be in ministry.
And as I've gotten older, I've realized when I look back, I feel sometimes like, you know, I haven't done enough. And for the first time, I feel like I'm actually serving God and others, and the residents, they just love me because they can see the difference between the employees that are there with a good heart versus those that are just, you know, it's just a job for them.
Well, that's wonderful. That sounds like God's, you know, opened up your calling for you to work in, and a lot of people envy you.
Well, thank you so much for your time and effort, and I love your show.
All right, Randy, thank you for your call. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, the program is halfway through, and our lines are open right now for you if you'd like to call. You're listening to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. We're here just to discuss any questions you have that you might want to raise. You call me in, call in on the show. You can ask a question about the Bible or the Christian faith or about your Christian life, or you can give an alternative viewpoint. You're welcome to do that here. The number is 800-227-5278. We only have less than 15 minutes left, so if you want to be on the program, this is the time to call. It's a little frustrating when people call in the last 5 minutes And the question they have really requires a longer answer than that. It's many times the questions you have are important questions that need somewhat more thorough treatment than 1 or 2 minutes will give. So call as early as you can, and this would be an excellent time. 800-227-5278. I mentioned our website earlier as a place where you can find the announcements of where I'll be speaking this Saturday in Temecula. But the website, if you've never been there, is also simply a resource with hundreds of MP3 files of Bible teachings, radio show archives, printed documents and things like that of value on subjects. It's a Bible teaching ministry here, but everything's free there. Everything is free. You just go and take it. But I would also say our website has been kind of in transition. We've been changing it over from the host that has hosted the website for a long time to a host that will give us more space on their server, because we need a lot of space. We have a lot of free files we give away there. So if you go to our website and you try to access something and it doesn't come out quite right, that's been the case for a couple of weeks as we've been making this transition. The website is thenarrowpath.com, but you can get the resources. If you're having a hard time getting them from our website because of this transition, you can get them from another site. The other site is called theos.org, theos, T-H-E-O-S, .org/media. You'll find all of my lectures and radio shows there as well. All right, let's talk to Tom from Torrance. Tom, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I do want you to know I try my best to call when you have quiet lines. I just often question how profitable my questions are to the greater radio audience. I have a friend who was a Christian and has now turned his back. He literally told me the other day that he thinks that someday they're going to find Jesus' body in a field. He's now into the Dalai Lama thing. He's probably 53 and has grown up, gone to Christian schools all his life. I think he started getting into this. So he's not going to be a Bible guy. And I just wanted to say, would you have like a top five or, you know, top 10 of where to start on your podcasts? I think he'd really do well to listen to you. And he is open to debate and talk and logic.
Well, so, yeah, not so much on my podcast, but on my lecture pages. I would recommend a couple of different things. Yeah, okay. If you go to either my website or to theos.org/media, you should be able to find these. Usually you can download them easily from my website, but things have been a little out of kilter because of this change. I'm not sure if it'll always work properly. Sometimes it does. I can usually get what I want from the website if I go there, but some people have complained that things get redirected. In any case, you can get these lectures. There's a set of lectures called The Authority of Scripture. The opening several lectures talk about the reasons why we know that the scriptures in Christianity are true. And, you know, there's a lot of lectures. I think it's like 16 lectures, but not all of them are about that. But I'd say the first 4 or 5 lectures would be of use to somebody like him. A single lecture of mine, which I think he ought to consider, is called Why I Am Still a Christian. You'll find it at the website when you go to the topical lectures. I think there's a folder called Individual Topics or Individual Lectures or something like that. It's a single lecture, and it's called Why I'm Still a Christian. You could probably even find it just by Googling it. Why I'm Still a Christian by Steve Gregg. This is a single lecture where I go through reasons why I have not even been slightly tempted to abandon the Christian faith, even though I've seen many people who grew up as Christians just kind of tossing it aside because of, you know, lame arguments from the internet or whatever against Christianity. Anyway, it's something that would probably profit him. It's intended for unbelievers. It's a lecture for unbelievers and even for people who were once believers but who have fallen away. Just to show that, you know, a person who falls away from Christ is not doing a rational thing. They're usually doing something based on emotion. A lot of times they're disappointed with God. A lot of times they are bitter because of something that has happened. Or maybe they've just become embarrassed because Christianity has become less popular than it was when they were younger and when they could embrace it and be popular. The truth is, abandoning Christianity is not a rational decision. All the rational evidence for Christ is still in place and far better than any other alternative belief system. So that would be my suggestion. Have them listen to that single lecture, Why I'm Still a Christian. That would be probably the best thing I could recommend for him. All right, let's talk to Bill from San Diego. Bill, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Steve?
Yeah.
It's Billy. I just want to say thank you for the suggestions and the answers that you gave to the caller, Randy. It was calling about having the lesser-paying job and then being offered a higher-paying job where he's perfectly happy where he is. I just want to tell Randy, you can't buy happiness. And blessed is the man that gets up and says, hey, I get to go to work today. He's happy in his job, rather than the man that says, ooh, I got to go to work today. So, Brother Steve, thank you. And, Randy, I pray that you would hear that message, because that is what it's all about, laying up treasures in heaven. And God's put you in an environment where you're able to do that, not saying you couldn't be in another job.
Amen.
Doing the same thing, making more money. But, Brother Steve.
All right, Bill. Thank you for your call. Okay, let's talk to Douglas from Los Angeles. Douglas, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
What qualifies as a need in Matthew 6:33? Jesus didn't have a place to sleep.
So when Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, in the context, these things refers to things he's been talking about previous to that verse, which has to do with food and clothing. It says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Now, he doesn't mention shelter. Jesus himself was without shelter sometimes. In fact, when someone wanted to follow him, he said, birds of the air have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He did have places to sleep under a roof sometimes. He had friends who'd take him in and so forth, but I think he slept under the stars a lot. That's a lot easier to do in a Mediterranean climate like Israel than it is to do in some parts of the world. In fact, it might be impossible to do that safely in some parts of the world. But if a person needs shelter, God will provide the shelter. Apparently, Jesus didn't need shelter all the time. We have probably an inflated idea of what our needs are, when really we could get by with much less. Now, of course, if we got by with as little as what Jesus got by with, just food and clothing most of the time, a lot of people would look at us as, you know, I don't know, they'd look down on us as like homeless people or something like that. But of course, it's one thing to be technically homeless and another thing to be in the homeless culture. I mean, the homeless culture, often to people, you know, people in that condition sometimes are, they just don't take care of themselves. They don't clean themselves. Look after, you know, the things that would make them presentable, and you know, so I mean, there are ways to be homeless. I actually lived in a VW bus for 6 months at one time. I guess that's homeless, although a bus is a home, a VW bus of sorts. But I've had times when I was between permanent dwellings, and I guess I could be called homeless at those times. But I still took showers and brushed my teeth, and didn't dress like a hobo. So, I mean, people looking at me would not know I was homeless. I mean, there's such a thing as being satisfied with little, but also using the little you have to not draw too much attention to yourself as a bum or something like that. Jesus obviously didn't look like a bum. He didn't look like a homeless person, but he didn't have very much either. And Paul, likewise, didn't have very much. Now, Paul said, having food and clothing, we will with these things be content. I don't know how often he had so little, but I think a lot of the time that's all he had. And there's times when he had even less, because he said in 1 Corinthians, sometimes he was in nakedness and hunger, which suggests he didn't have enough clothing and food, apparently enough to survive, but not very much. So we should be content with little, and our actual needs are those things that are necessary to, A, keep us alive, and B, enable us to do whatever the work is we're called to do. And so that would be one of the ways I would define actual needs. All right, Martin from Santee, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hello, thank you, Steve, for your encouraging ministry. You answered a question not long ago about the 40,000 plus denominations in Christianity, and if I understood correctly, you said that basically fleshliness makes us disagree on so many things. I kind of like to emphasize the unanimity there seems to be in spite of, you know, how broad the Bible is, and we tend to agree on the major points. And is there room for, like, should that be a healthy expression of Christianity, that there is such diversity and we can still agree on the major doctrines?
Right. I see it that way myself. Some people see it as a weakness of Protestantism, that we don't have a centralized authority telling us what to believe about everything. And some churches have that, the Roman Catholic being one particularly that comes to mind. They have, a leadership that tells them what the Catholic Church entitles them to believe and requires them to believe. We don't have that in the Protestant world. Some individual denominations have that internally. But as Protestants, we are free to think differently from each other. And I do think that's a sign of health. All Protestants, as far as I know, believe the same basic things about Jesus, that he's the Son of God, that he came to earth to live a perfect life and to die as a perfect sacrifice for sins, that he rose from the dead, and that he's the Lord. That's what are the basics. Now, when people believe that, they're certainly free to believe lots of other things besides, even differently from other Christians. And I think having difference of opinion and getting along despite that difference of opinion is one of the healthiest signs of spiritual life in a movement. Unfortunately, Protestants often don't get along as much as they should, and they don't have that kind of health. But it is entirely possible and desirable that Christians should get along with others who disagree with them and love them, because we are all Christians after all. You've been listening to The Narrow Path, and we are a listener-supported ministry. If you'd like to help us stay on the air, you can write to The Narrow Path, P.O. Box 1730, Temecula, California, 92593. Or you can go to our website, thenarrowpath.com. You can donate from there if you wish, thenarrowpath.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KBRT, its ownership, its management, or its sponsors.
It's great you got a chance to listen to Steve Gregg on The Narrow Path this morning. Make sure you tune in tomorrow early, just a little bit earlier than 9:30, so you can call in first and get your question answered first. And if you can't wait till tomorrow morning, the Bible Answer Show is today at 12 o'clock with Pastor Michael Lance and his team of pastors, where you can discuss pretty much anything with them as far as Scripture and the faith goes. The Bible Answer today at 12. Enjoying Everyday Life with Joyce Myers next with her message, The Lord is My Shepherd.
Hey, Brian.
Making it a better summer. It's time to celebrate. In honor of moving into our new facilities on Airway Avenue in Costa Mesa, Gooing Chiropractic is offering a one-time full-body health exam for only $29.99 for all patients. Begin to identify the root of a chronic problem and tour the new facilities to learn why Dr. Mike Gooing was named one of the top 27 curative chiropractors in the U.S. That means he doesn't just crack back. He finds solutions to ongoing issues toward effecting a cure. He uses non-traditional chiropractic methods, quantum reflex analysis, laser therapy for inflammation and joint pain, and nutrition that really works. So what have you got to lose? Give us a call at 714-556-9188, 714-556-9188, and ask about our grand opening special for only $29.99, 714-556-9188.
K-Bright is transforming talk radio for all of Southern California. KBRT and KBRT HD Costa Mesa, KNSN San Diego, and 100.7 in Corona, and on the web at kbrightradio.com.
Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series entitled, The Lord is My Shepherd. Psalm 23, a simple psalm with only 6 verses, and yet its words have so much meaning and power, beginning with, The Lord is my shepherd, and ending in, Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David describes his relationship with God and the guidance that the Lord provides him. It's considered to be one of the most popular psalms in the Bible, and you may have memorized it at some point in time. But have you ever taken the time and tried to understand it deeper? Today, Joyce will help with just that, breaking down Psalm 23 verse by verse and revealing just what it means to have the Lord as your shepherd. Now, here's Joyce with today's teaching, The Lord is My Shepherd.
How many of you think we need to be a lot more committed to just doing what's right in our life? How many of you are going to do what's right, even if you don't get a right result right away, and you're going to just stick in there and do what's right to glorify God? How many of you are going to do what's right if you're the only person that's doing what's right? Now, seven things we must do to stay on the path of righteousness. Seven things. Be willing to live sacrificially, to love Christ and to love others with all.